Well, it is now Sunday, August the 4th. We're going to continue our thoughts about our position in Christ. And today we want to consider this fact: as fellowship is our position. Now, that isn't commonly known or believed. As a basis for our study, we will look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, through chapter 2, verse 2. That's 1 John 1, 1 through 2, 2. And 1 John is toward the back of your Bible, if you'd like to turn to it now, please. Now let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again this morning for that grace which has come to us, which causes us to love and appreciate. I thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We look to you now and depend upon you to teach us this morning, that we may learn and grow, honor you, and serve one another. Bless our time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now reading from 1 John chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness, and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you in order that your joy may be full. And this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you that you do not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now, this passage divides up into four messages. So for the next four Sundays, we'll be considering the truth from 1 John 1, 1 through chapter 2 and verse 2. And today we want to deal with the introduction, verses 1 through 4, fellowship. And I think we need to say right here at the beginning that the purpose of our salvation is for fellowship. Now, that isn't really brought home today as it needs to be. We think that other purposes come ahead of that, like our service, our good works, what we do. We are primarily saved for fellowship with God. That's priority. And we need to know that, and we need to live that. Now, if we're going to learn about fellowship, we need to define it. What is fellowship? Well, it has many aspects, and let me just run through a few ideas. First of all, there is the idea of togetherness. Fellowship is being together. And it isn't always geographically, but it's in spirit. It is friendship. It is mutual respect. It is being in agreement. It is trusting one another. Fellowship is a relationship. It is a partnership in life. It is being companions. It is being compatible. It is being or having things in common. Now, what is the opposite of fellowship? Well, it would be no contact. There is nothing going on there. There is no interest in the other person. And the opposite can sometimes be outright hatred. Now, the Bible declares that the human heart is at enmity against God. So an unbeliever is living as an enemy of God and certainly has no fellowship. Fellowship with God is reserved for believers in Christ. And the primary purpose of our salvation is that fellowship with the Lord. Now let's look at the text. First of all, there is the fellowship with the word of life, that which was from the beginning, which you've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Now, what is this phrase, the word of life? Well, it's certainly, without reservation, referring to our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the eternal Christ. He is from the beginning. Therefore, he is not only eternal, he is divine. In the New Testament, there are three references to the beginning. This passage, and in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 4, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word became flesh. So it's very certain that refers to Christ. Also in Hebrews 1:1 we learn that Christ is eternal and that through him the worlds were made. He's the creator. The word of life in this passage is our Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 2, John says that word was with the Father. So in the beginning, that is, in the eternal picture, we have the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now the phenomenal thing is that John says this life was manifested, that is, it appeared. Not it appeared, he appeared. He is the eternal Christ. He is the personal Christ. The Christ of eternity. The God of eternity, the divine person, became human. He is historical. And John says, we apostles saw him. We looked upon him. We heard him. And our hands have handled him. We actually touched God. We lived with him. And when you read through Matthew and Luke, you learn all about the humanity of God in Christ. So the Word of Life is the eternal Christ, and he is the personal Christ whom we can know. John goes on to say that there is fellowship through bearing witness in verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. John is talking about the apostles' fellowship. We've seen him, we've heard him. Now we're writing to some of you. You have never seen him or heard him, but we are declaring this to you. We are proclaiming this to you. We are teaching you dogmatically about this truth. We are making a positive assertion that Jesus Christ is eternal and that he is divine, and these are not suggestions. These are not theories. There are no options. Christ is the eternal God, and we declare him. We proclaim him. And we have fellowship in doing that. John also states the purpose of that witness, and what a marvelous thing it is. Him we declare and proclaim to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And what a marvelous thing that is. For the apostles to have this on their heart, that other people may also get in on this and have fellowship with the Lord. The longing of their heart. And it should be the longing of our heart as we witness that people could have this glorious experience of fellowship with the Lord God, which leads us to the people of this fellowship, as John states it. He says, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, the people of the fellowship. First of all, it's the apostles. And to qualify as an apostle, you must be an eyewitness of the Christ. So John is using the word our, meaning the apostles. The apostles are having fellowship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, they have fellowship with the Father in relationship to his pardon. He has removed the penalty, released the guilt, restored us from being an enemy into relationship with him. We have fellowship with the Son through redemption. Therefore, we sing, Jesus paid it all. Our debt is fully covered. Now, in this passage, the Holy Spirit is not stated, but we could say that our fellowship is with the Father, with his Son, Jesus Christ, and with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes all this real. Now, we can read it, and we could say, yes, that's nice, it sounds good. But to make it real and bring it home to us in our heart is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And this morning, if we can believe what we have just read, It is because the Holy Spirit has revealed that to us and caused us to believe. It's for the family of God. And sometimes in human families, we can say, "You are in our blood family." But we do not have fellowship because you are not in Christ. You are not in the family of God. We do not have fellowship with unbelievers because fellowship is with the Father and with His Son. Now, do human beings have fellowship? Yes, at a certain level. In fact, a man has written a book about saying that there was a man who preferred the fellowship at the bar rather than the fellowship he had in church, because it was more friendly and they met at a common level there. And people in service clubs have a kind of a fellowship. But our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son and with the Holy Spirit. Now John goes on to speak of the blessing of the fellowship. "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you may have fellowship with us. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, in order that your joy may be full." Our priority as a Christian is to live in fellowship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and that blessing brings the fullness of joy. Nothing else can do that. Nothing that this flesh can offer, nothing that Satan can offer, nothing that the world can offer can measure up to the joy of person-to-person fellowship with the Lord. Being together with Him, with His attention upon us, and our attention upon Him. Now, basic to what we're thinking about would be the question, how? What is this fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit? The basic thing is that the fellowship is in the Bible. It has to be in truth. And it has to be by grace. Because we in ourselves will never be worthy of fellowship. And when we think we are, is the very moment we are not. It is in the Bible. As we read and study and pray and meditate in the Scripture, we have fellowship. "Well, do you mean to say that I couldn't have fellowship in the car? Do I have to have a Bible open?" No. But it's out of something you have read or heard or know or believe in the Bible. You don't have fellowship by going out and sitting under a tree and thinking through yoga. You don't have fellowship by going out and sitting under a tree and thinking about yourself. Fellowship is thinking about Him. And that brings great joy, delight, and peace. And it's a strengthening and an enabling and a cleansing that prepares us to live in this society which is against us. We need fellowship with the Lord. Some years ago at a youth camp at Hume Lake, California, we had a family group, but there were a group of high school, college people with an evening service. And one evening the speaker had a bad throat, and they came to me about an hour at a time and asked me to take that spot. Well, I didn't have a lot of time to prepare, but what came to me was to preach about, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, most of these young people were Christians. And the Lord used that time in a sort of a sense of revival. Hardly anybody left the meeting. They were sitting there, praying together, crying together. Some of them were coming forward to confess. And it was a glorious moment. But toward the back of the auditorium, I saw a young man sitting alone. He's crying. I go sit beside him. Tears are streaming, dripping on the floor. I said, is there anything we can pray about together? He said, yes. He started to pray, and he said this, I've missed you, Lord. What a prayer. Lord, I've missed you. I haven't been living in fellowship. I haven't been paying attention. I haven't been in the Bible. I've missed you. Never forget that. What a touching moment. And perhaps that's what many of us need to say today. Lord, I miss you. I long to be with you. There's a blessing in fellowship. Now, I think it's safe to say that those who live in fellowship are those who love the Lord and those who love others. You know, there is a difference among Christians. Some are rather nonchalant and can go in and out of church, but hardly ever is there conversation about Christ or about the Father or about the Holy Spirit. They don't seem to do anything with their Christian life. And this has at least been in my experience. That is, those who live in fellowship, who love the Lord and love other people and serve Him. That's the difference. People who live in fellowship care. People who live in fellowship serve. What a tragic thing it is for a Christian to miss out on this fellowship. David said, as the deer, the little deer, pants for the drink of water at the brook, that longing, so my heart longs for God. The greatest human experience is fellowship with the Lord. Nothing else compares. The question is, who qualifies us for fellowship? Well, it is by the sovereign grace of God, never by merit. I can never be humanly good enough For the Lord God Almighty in His majesty and glory and purity and perfection to have anything to do with the likes of you or me has to be by grace, never by merit. It has to be through faith and not by works. It will be very important for us to consider the truth in this entire passage through chapter 2, verse 2. Next week deals with the realm of fellowship, that is, in the light. The third week deals with the experience of fellowship, and the fourth week deals with the guarantee of fellowship. And today we are introducing the thought of fellowship with the living God. Don't miss out. Turn your eyes on Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of His love and grace. Heavenly Father, we thank You for putting it upon the heart of John and for inspiring him to write these truths of fellowship. This morning, our hearts respond with longing to live in fellowship with You. And to thank You that that is our position, cannot be lost, but can be disturbed. Cause us this morning to come to You in worship and to live this day in fellowship with You and with one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.